Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
From Podcast One and the Lady Gang, are you ready for a relatable, unapologetic take on life? This is the Ladies Like Us podcast with Nazanin Mandy and Nadia Mohan. Welcome to Ladies Like Us. I'm Nazanin Mandy.
And I'm Nadia Mohan.
So before we get to the show really quick, I just wanted to say thank you to all of our great sponsors. We want to thank you guys for all of your support. And to learn more about them, please check out our show notes for this episode.
All right, guys. Today, our guest is Naz's trainer.
Yeah.
So if you want to know, she gets that hot bod. Tori Shack will be here to tell all the secrets.
We call her Hori Tori.
Hori Tori. Love Tori. She's here. She's going to talk to us about her nonprofit organization, Tangible Movement. And we're going to talk about mental health and fitness and all kinds of good stuff. But first, let's get into our high of the week and blue of the week.
Mm-hmm. You want to get high?
This sucks.
Man, mine's lame.
It's okay.
Nothing exciting really happened. High of the week. Obviously, we were high. Omar and I went out the other night, and we went to Market Street Bar, which is like our local bar down the street.
Okay.
And it's
like... Is this the like cheap drink one?
Yeah. Oh, okay. My God. Okay. It's like... We shouldn't say that. The drinks are not cheap.
They're
fairly priced.
Sorry.
And strong. It's a great place to go. I recommend it.
Wow. You're just sending them customers.
No, I'm not even going to lie. Market Street Bar is the shit. It's in Inglewood. What's her name that works there? Everybody knows her. It starts with a T. Now it's going to kill me. I'm going to remember and find out later.
But well, anyways. Market Street Bar, now you owe her a lot of free drinks for this shout out.
Yes.
And
Ronnie.
Omar.
Ronnie. That's
Ronnie.
Her name.
Ronnie, better hook
Ronnie's
them up.
Ronnie's the shit. She, you know, she hooks us up. But yeah, we went there. Just him and I, we had nothing else to do. Went there, got some wings.
Ooh.
We got completely.
What flavor?
Lemon, pepper, and buffalo.
This is a really good high. I like this.
But we got completely trashed. I think I had like two drinks, which like, you know, my tolerance is high.
No.
Yeah. We had like two, maybe three drinks.
And you were trashed?
Trashed. And it was great. We came home.
It got
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic.
That's like, you guys are my cousins, so like, it's so weird to hear this.
Whatever.
But it's not weird.
I have to hear all kinds of nasty shit from you and Miguel.
That's true.
Pussy is mine. Hello. Remember that song?
Yeah. I didn't want him to put that out, by the way.
Remember when your dad went to go watch him sing that?
Yes. Oh, it was cringy. And I was sitting in the audience. It was in Seattle. My dad lives in Seattle. And Miguel had a show out there, and we were all sitting in the audience, and that song came on, and I just wanted to melt away.
I would want to die.
It was.
I wish I was there to see that, though, because I would have loved that.
It was.
It was
horrifying.
That would have been hilarious.
That and my dad's wedding speech. Horrifying.
I loved it. I loved it all. I was there for it.
Yeah. No. It was
so
crazy.
All right. So what about your high?
So my high of the week, I was in Paris for Fashion Week, and it was the best trip to Paris.
Really?
Yeah.
It looked like you guys had a blast.
I was only there really for like a day and a half because mm-hmm. I had to come back. But
responsibilities.
Man, responsibilities. Being an adult.
I know.
So
sucks.
I had to come back. But that day and a half, like we really had the best time.
What'd you guys do?
We went out. We had dinner at this place called Giraffe. Mm. And it's a restaurant that's facing the Eiffel Tower. So it's like a front row seat to the Eiffel Tower.
You posted that. I saw it. Oh, that was so pretty.
And then at 11 p.m., mm-hmm. they light up the Eiffel Tower.
That's my favorite. And it twinkles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They light it up every hour till 1 a.m. So, mm-hmm. you know, it only goes off a couple times.
Right.
But it was just so romantic.
Magical.
I mean, you know, Drew was there. But it was as romantic as we could have it.
Just you, Miguel, and Drew.
And Drew. You know, the usual. But it was super romantic. And then after that, we ended up at somebody's house. I don't want to say who it is.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know this story, so you're going to have to tell me later.
Yeah, I can't say who it is.
Uh-huh.
But this person was so hospitable and amazing, uh-huh. and it was kind of like, oh, okay. Mm,
dying to know.
Yeah, we ended up, this is going to sound crazy, in his basement. But like,
oh, it's a man.
Yeah.
And it's a basement.
It's a man, but it was a great party. We were not the only ones there, but it was an amazing party. And then the next day we went out to dinner with a bunch of friends, and we went to this restaurant. They had like a chef's table and just kept bringing food, you know.
More and more food.
More food and more food. And
I haven't been eating since I came home. Like, I can't eat anymore.
No,
I don't want to eat.
We ate a lot.
We ate a lot.
Like, a lot. And
my clothes are tight.
I went to the restroom. I came back. There was parchment paper across the table.
Uh-huh.
And desserts on no plates, just draped across the parchment table and forks everywhere. Like, people were just digging.
I'm suddenly horny.
Like, people were just digging into this food.
And did you take pictures of that?
Drew took a lot of video of that because he couldn't eat it. So he took video.
God, that sucks.
I know. He's a vegan. Shout out to the vegans. You guys are strong. I couldn't do it.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how you do it either.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, but, I mean, I get it, but
no, it takes a lot of willpower.
What about cheese?
I mean, really, what about cheese?
What about cheese?
What about so many things?
I know.
Like, I don't know. It's hard. But yeah, that trip was amazing.
That's awesome.
You know, we had no hiccups. Everything was so smooth, and like, everyone was in such a good mood. We danced. All I texted before I got there, I said, babe, all I want to do with you is just dance.
Right.
Like, we haven't had those moments in a long time.
Right.
And we did, and it was so fun.
Good.
Yeah, it was really
Paris
fun.
Paris is always a good idea.
Always a good idea. Yes.
Oh, all right. So let's get into the blows. Again, mine is boring and lame.
Okay.
For my mundane life I'm living this week. So, you know what really irks me and just kills me and grinds my gears is when I get out of the shower and I grab a fresh towel, quote unquote, fresh towel, and it smells like mildew.
Ugh. No, I don't like that.
It is the worst. And it's because, you know, I probably at some point forgot that I had to put the laundry into the dryer.
I've done that. Actually, I probably did that to you.
Yeah, you did. Actually,
I'm sorry.
You're right.
My mind has been crazy. And she asked me to put her clothes in the dryer and I forgot. And that is my fault.
That's,
you had a
mildewy towel.
It's
probably that load. It's probably that load.
I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I'll buy you a new towel.
But you're like, you know, you wipe yourself and then you're just like, you don't notice it till it's already on you and you're like, oh, I stink and I don't have time to wash myself and get another towel. I have to go.
No,
it's
awful.
I hate it.
No, you know what I hate too is when I'll wash. So the cats are obsessed with laying on like warm, clean
blankets.
Clothes.
Oh, right.
So
like fresh out the
fresh out the.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame them.
Yeah, me neither. Like fresh out of the dryer.
Yeah.
And I'll put the stuff on the floor because I'm ready to fold it. And you know, they run to it.
Right.
Sometimes I'll forget, and then I get out of the shower. I'm obviously all wet.
Mm-hmm. And you're covered in cat hair?
Yes. Covered in cat hair. And I'm like,
no.
Oh, my God.
I can't. And you're wet, too.
Yeah. And so I have to jump back in.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it's so annoying. But I'd rather have that than no cats. So it's fine.
That's true. You just when you have pets, you accept the hair. You just accept that
you
it's
have to you have to accept the hair.
Yeah, because it's everywhere. It's so annoying.
For sure.
But how about you? What's your blow?
My blow of the week, you know, for some reason, and I think it's all the jet lag, my anxiety has been really bad.
Oof.
It's been really, like, I was on the phone last night with Darla probably till past one, and you know, she doesn't go to bed that late.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just crying. Like, it's been a lot. Fuck. It's been a lot. Like, I have a lot happening and I'm trying to navigate. And right. It's giving me anxiety. And she's walking me through it. And,
right.
And she's just making sure that I'm not freaking out and right. falling back.
I think, you know? Like, you are a person that really thrives on routine and control.
Yeah.
And when you, like, now things are really picking up for you and it's so amazing, but it's a lot for you to handle because you're not used to, like, it's just intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, I even had the conversation and I had this, like, in Paris when we were having fun. Mm-hmm. I had to say something because it was so much. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Miguel about it and he's like, you cannot dim yourself because you're scared anymore, mm-hmm. you know, or you can't do that for other people to make them feel comfortable.
Right.
He's like, you did that for me for over 10 years.
Right.
You cannot do this anymore.
Right.
So I'm like battling with that right now.
Right.
So that's my low of the week. My blow of the week.
Well, lucky for you, today we're talking about all things mental health.
Exactly.
So we are going to talk about that.
Tori can walk me through it.
Yeah. We can talk about the anxiety and
yeah.
all that fun stuff.
For sure. For sure.
Not so fun stuff.
Yeah. All right, guys. When we get back, we're going to discuss mental health and the stigma surrounding it. Get ready.
So, Nas, you know every car comes with its own share of stories.
Every car.
You know, like that one time you put a gash on the side of your car because you drove off with the gas pump still attached. Ouch. The night you broke up with your boyfriend?
Yikes.
Yep, that really happened. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now, with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth and when it's time to sell or trade it in.
Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof?
A moonroof? What's a moonroof?
It's a roof. You look at the moon through. That's what it is. Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage.
Ding, ding. That's me.
You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. And mm-hmm. I love to plan ahead.
You sure do.
Yep. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in.
So, when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
True cash offer not available in all areas. Our guest today is the founder and executive director of the nonprofit organization Tangible Movement. She's a celebrity trainer, a dear friend of mine, who was and still is a huge part of my personal growth in many ways. Introducing Tori Scheck.
What up, guys?
Hey, Tori.
Thanks for having me.
Hori Tori, as I'd like to call her.
Yes, that's her favorite terminology for me. And it kind of is a little bit true.
It just works.
I mean, if the shoe fits.
I wear it.
It's not a heel.
No, it's definitely not a heel.
It's not a heel.
All right, Tori. Well, thank you for being here with us today.
Yeah.
We have lots of great things to talk about.
Very excited.
Yeah. So 2016, you started Tangible Movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what made you get into that? What made you start it?
Well, that would have
what
to...
is it?
Well, Nas is an ambassador for it, so I hope she knows.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I don't,
yes.
And our viewers don't.
All right, so we're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation that was formed to inspire, educate, and provide support for youth and young adults who are struggling with mental health conditions, suicidal ideation, gender identity issues, and addiction.
Got it. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
We need more things like that.
Yep.
We need more support, for
agreed,
sure.
Agreed.
And I think now we're getting to a place where people are talking about it more. It's more out in the open. Mm-hmm. The
right.
stigma is starting to fade, but mm-hmm. it's still there. You know, why do you think there even is a stigma that's like related to mental health and mental illness?
Just because people are not educated about it.
And that's where you come in.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yes, and the
right.
whole platform for Tangible Movement is an educational awareness platform.
Right.
You know, people just don't see depression as a disease or a disorder or, you know, anything along those lines. A lot of times they see it as, oh, they're just lazy. Or mm-hmm. if you have anxiety, you know, mm-hmm. okay, they're just you know, loners. They want to stay inside their house all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. people don't have the same view of a mental illness that they do of cancer.
Right.
Well,
at all. Mm-hmm. Period.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like people who are depressed a lot of the times don't even know they're depressed?
Yes. And that's another reason why I started the movement, was because when I was younger, mm-hmm. I had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. No one told me what was happening. You know, I started seeing a psychiatrist at, you know, age 14. I was diagnosed severely depressed with potential bipolar and ADHD.
Right.
And I still was like a total oddball out. I was going to a Catholic high school, and I'm Jewish.
That is really? I never knew that.
My dad sent me there either. Because I thought I was a tagger in junior high. Mm-hmm. So I was spray painting. So, yeah, I was tagging. I thought I was like all hardcore tagger in junior right. high. And my dad's like, all right, yeah, you're going to go to this Catholic high school. And
wait, was this in Orange County?
Yeah, Santa Margarita Catholic High School.
You went what? There? Mm-hmm. Wait. That's I didn't even know this. This house. Is like 2 minutes from my house.
I lived in Codo de Casa.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you were in Codo. Mm-hmm. So my parents live in Walden.
Okay, so we're
Do you
neighbors.
Know where that is? Like right next to
Did you ever
CLO
tag
Dove
Walden?
Canyon? Yeah, I'm like, where was this tagging happening?
It was actually happening at La Paz Middle School.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where that is.
The lockers.
Tori was at La Paz. I can't. This is hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Spray painting La Paz Middle School, and yep. your dad was like, "I need to have her find Jesus." Like,
No, he just thought the nuns would be able to deal with me a little bit better.
Oh,
wait. And was this like an all-girl Catholic school?
No,
oh,
no,
you would have liked that.
I knew I was gay.
Right. Oh, okay. You didn't know yet.
So when?
Okay, got it.
When
okay,
did
okay.
you know? When did you start to figure out that you were gay?
Like in hindsight, or as the process was happening?
Let's do both.
So as the process was happening, okay, I grew up in Orange County, which was super, super conservative. There was no brown, there was no black, there was no nothing except right. for white and Catholic, Protestant, whatever.
Right.
My dad was a total racist and homophobe, complete and
which
total.
Which is so crazy.
Great. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah, I know.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Match
and,
made.
yeah, so I naturally took on racism as my belief.
Of course.
And homophobia as well as my mm-hmm. belief.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, you know, I started feeling weird things. You know, like when the classes get out and the girls see each other at the class, like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in like 45 minutes. Like, oh my God, give me a hug. Oh my God.
You weren't like that.
No. Well, the problem was
she wanted the hugs.
Like, I didn't like when they hugged me because it felt a certain type of way.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
I didn't know what it was.
Right.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
you were feeling things and
yeah,
didn't know
I was
what
like,
they
what
were.
What is going on?
Right.
Okay.
Moisty.
Maybe a little. Maybe a little bit.
I can't.
Yeah. So, I kind of figured it out like in high school. My mom knew before I did.
Why does that? Oh, that always happens.
I don't know. The
always.
Moms. The
yeah,
moms.
They know it.
So, once I came to the realization around 15 that I was gay or attracted to girls, mm-hmm. I was like, well, my life's over. You know, my dad's mm-hmm. always said, you know, like, you're going to grow up, you're going to get a husband, you're going to have two kids, you're going to have a white picket fence and all that and this and the other.
I can't even see you with that.
Me neither.
Like, that is...
But that's all I envisioned when at that age.
Right.
Right.
So, I couldn't figure out... I had boyfriends, but, like, I couldn't figure out why my girlfriends, like, would bail on me to hang out with their boyfriends. And... because they wanted to hang out with them so badly, right? I'm like, I always was canceling on my boyfriend to hang out with my girlfriend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sign number two.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like adding.
Yeah.
So I was doing drugs this time. I was actually, my first entrepreneurial job was a drug dealer.
Okay.
And so I was dealing weed at the time. And
I didn't even know you were around, damn.
Yep, I know, it was good. It was
could
like,
have had
everybody knew to go to Tori. Everybody knew to go to Tori.
She was down the street.
She was down the street.
I was.
Damn it.
And yeah, so that was, yeah. And then what happened was I had this crush on this girl and I was super depressed, like going through a super depressive episode, smoking, drinking. And again, I just thought my life could not continue like this. There was no point. So I attempted suicide at 15, and I ended up in my first psych ward. Mm-hmm.
Did this catch your parents completely, like, off guard?
Or did they see it coming?
I don't think they saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
They saw I had problems, but they didn't know that they were
You
this
would take
big.
It that far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after I got out of there, I was a troublemaker, definitely. Not a troublemaker. I was just getting into detention all the time. Mm-hmm. So I had severe anger issues, mm-hmm. right? I got into a fight in high school, Santa Margarita, and I ended up punching the dean in the face.
Tori!
And I got kicked out of high school. Yeah, kicked out of high school.
Wow.
Went to Capistrano, Capo. Okay. And I started snorting Ritalin.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then I got into meth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tori!
We are like, wow. Yeah. What escalated quickly?
And then I started selling it. I started selling meth.
Oh, okay. No. How did you, where did you even get it from?
So this is an interesting story. So the guy I was dating at the time, he had this big time drug dealer, and we went to the house, and there was all the sons of the mother was a drug dealer. The sons were all like hardcore gangbangers. Mm. So we went in to get this, we got a whole bunch of stuff. We were leaving, and my friend had like a red handkerchief hanging out of his pocket or something. I guess, I don't know, Bloods, right? Crips,
right,
whatever.
Bloods.
I guess these guys were the Crips, the Blues or whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. So he, I don't know.
She's well so, educated in her game.
Yeah. So, yeah. Real, real educated. So they, as soon as we got in the car, they started shooting at us as we left and bullets were flying through the car.
What?
And I was like,
Tori.
And then I realized what had happened, why we got shot at was because he was wearing red. And he had a red car.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just not going to go back with him. I'll go back alone.
Oh, Lord.
So I did, and the gangbangers all loved me, and the mother loved me, so mm-hmm. it was great. I had a serious, awesome supply. Was dealing it all over the place. And then I landed into treatment. I got down to about almost 90 pounds.
Ooh.
I'm probably about 140 right now.
Right.
So I got there. Yeah, got out of treatment. Oh, in treatment, the cops wanted me to bust the dealer. Mm. I'm like, no.
Of course.
No, thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
She's no rat.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm like, mm-mm.
Go get your ass later.
I was exactly. Like, yeah, those little, they yeah. would definitely get me.
Yeah.
And then, let's see what happens. 17. Yeah, so I struggled with depression and addiction, basically continuing going on throughout my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the racism kind of subsided for me when I went to college, which was at Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Were you more exposed to other cultures?
Yes. Mm-hmm. To it was really my first experience with Black people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really.
Mm-hmm. So crazy to think about.
No, yeah. I mean, I can vouch for that. I grew up in that area. Right. I know exactly the same shit for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to Mission Viejo, so there was a little bit more of a mix.
And you probably gravitated more.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I moved to that school, I was like, where are all the dark-skinned people? Where are all the people that are closer to me?
Right, exactly.
Like, and we all hung out on the hill, and it was all, mm-hmm. like, Filipino, Mexican, Black, like,
right.
little cultural group of kids, and we all gravitated because it was just more familiar,
right.
you know? We had more in common, and it was just – nothing wrong with or disrespect for white people, but it's just I didn't relate to them and I didn't connect as much, you know, on a deeper level. I mean, I have all kinds of mixed friends, but once I got to high school, I was like, oh, now I feel like I belong.
Yeah.
You know, so no, yeah. it's a culture shock.
It was major mm-hmm. for me because I, in our household, we would refer to minorities with a really inappropriate name.
Right.
All minorities.
Right.
So yeah, I got to college and I was a history major and I started learning, obviously educating myself more
mm-hmm.
and the racism slowly subsided. My mm-hmm. girlfriend at the time hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I slowly started growing out of it. But, when I got into high school or college, I started having severe panic disorder.
Mm.
So that was my first, thing with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It was debilitating.
So when you experienced that, I'm imagining panic attacks. Is
yep.
that what? Okay. Mm-hmm. And in like what setting or like just any time or?
For 1 year, 1 year straight, I had them at least almost 3 times a day.
Ooh. Wow.
It was exhausting. And I got agoraphobic. Agoraphobia means you're just afraid to go outside because you're afraid that it's going to another panic attack is going to happen.
Right.
I was afraid to go to Ralph's. Like Ralph's cause a panic attack.
Oh my God.
Going around a certain corner would cause a panic attack.
Any kind of interaction or just being in public.
And,
yeah.
And what happens in this panic attack?
I go completely like tunnel vision. I can't hear anything. It's like ringing really loud, ringing in my ears. Mm-hmm. My palms are just like dripping with sweat.
Wow.
And I feel like the world is just going to end right then and there. Like, wow. I can't see reality anymore.
Right.
So I'm guessing you slept this off a lot or tried to? Were you still doing drugs?
No, I was prescribed Xanax for it. And so I was taking a lot of Xanax. Mm-hmm. But I was afraid to drink. I was afraid to do my drugs of choice, which was opiates. Mm-hmm. And Adderall. So I just didn't do anything for almost a year because I was so afraid it would cause more panic.
I mean, I'm sure it would.
Yeah, definitely. Right? Yeah.
It aggravates it. Yeah.
Wow. But Xanax is, you know.
But I hated taking it because I had to take it.
I know.
Right.
Yeah.
And it kind of just makes you feel like what? It numbs you, right?
Chill. Right. I mean, you want to sleep. I know I personally want to sleep.
Right. It relaxes you.
It relaxes you, but you get to a point, and I know a few people that now it's like they can't function without it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? It's extremely addicting.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's very addicting.
That's scary.
So it's one of those things where it's like, if you don't want to become addicted, you have to really take a small piece
portion
here
it out. And then, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because you can become very 100% addicted to it.
100%.
That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, I was like, I started drinking again. But pills were my drug of choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I did drink, but pills were my drug of choice. I did some recreational stuff with it was called ecstasy back then. You guys call it Molly now.
Well, Molly's just the pure form.
Pure form.
Right.
Yeah.
MDMA. Ecstasy.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I lost my mind. Like, I thought bats were flying out of my room. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore.
That sounds fun.
No, it's not.
Horrible.
I had a spider incident,
okay.
We will not get into that. So.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
But I made it through college, and I interned in the White House under Bill Clinton.
Wow. Through all of this,
yeah.
You managed to still complete college.
Top of my class.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. amazing.
That's yeah. incredible.
I know. I was pretty lucky.
Yeah.
What kept you – how did you stay so focused with all of that going on?
I was super interested in my studies.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Which was
– History.
Still history?
International relations.
So yeah. You mm-hmm. kept that throughout. You didn't change your major at all. Interesting.
It was poli-sci. I changed history because there was too much math.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I hate math too.
No. I wanted to be a politician.
Interesting.
Yep. So after I worked in Washington, I was like, okay, no, this is
right.
not, yeah.
Right.
But yeah, once I got out of college, the economy wasn't great and I was working at a gym actually and drinking around the clock 24/7.
Oof.
So I'd be giving
me working at the gym?
Yeah. So, you know, the little shaker bottles?
Oh, my God.
No, you would not.
Have alcohol in it at all times. Alcohol in all times. And so I'd be giving people tours, just like chugging down.
Wow.
So, what kind of alcohol?
Whatever I can get my hands on, like, didn't stink too bad. Like, usually, like, vodka
mm-hmm.
or I'd put beer in there sometimes if my manager right. wasn't around. And then someone,
wow.
yeah.
You're like, it's just a little beer.
All day long.
Little beer.
She's like, drop and give me 20.
Yeah. Yeah. I was all day.
Wow.
Around the clock.
Wow. That's crazy that you were just functioning like that.
Yeah.
You were a functioning alcoholic.
I was a functioning mm-hmm. alcoholic. And mm-hmm. That's the thing. Do people function until you no longer function?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
then
you just crash. You hit that rock bottom.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like drinking is fun and then fun with problems and then problems.
Right.
Ooh.
So for most people, you were self-medicating yourself with these drugs and alcohol because you had all these other things inside of you that you had.
The anxiety.
Yeah, the anxiety, the depression, that all stemmed basically from your, like, not being out or what was it?
The mental illness? It runs in my family, that part.
Right, right.
But yeah. As far as, yeah, I had really bad internalized homophobia.
Mm, okay.
Even as gay people, I was out in college.
Okay.
I had my first experience in college.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when did you come out to your parents?
That
in college?
No. When my mom figured it out and she called me out on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did that go down?
My mom was fine with it. My dad was not okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Damn.
He took him a good 10 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. To come around.
Right.
Yeah. And he finally did. So,
And how did that go down?
Well, we were having Thanksgiving at my house
with
Blake.
Good old Thanksgiving. Oh, so you were in a relationship.
We were together for 7 years.
Okay.
So you brought her.
Well, we lived together.
Okay. No, but Thanksgiving.
I brought my parents to my house for Thanksgiving.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So they were talking about my sister being engaged and how exciting that was. And my dad always referred to my girlfriend as my roommate. All the time. That's how they would talk.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know. I was just.
You were over it.
Yeah, I was finally over it. I'm like, I'm cooking this ass dinner at my house. And he's referring to my girlfriend of 7 years as a roommate still. I'm like, I'm over it. So I just put the turkey on the table. I said, Dad, I said, look, she's not my roommate. She is my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I lick her.
No!
Tori! That is not what roommates do, Dad. I need you to understand and respect the fact that she's my girlfriend.
Your dad was like, what?
Did the turkey go flying? She's there a scene? Yeah. What happened?
I lick her gravy and giblets. Can you pass the mashed potatoes?
Yeah, I just had
Was there silence?
It.
What happened?
There was silence. Okay. And then he said, okay.
Oh, wow.
And that was it.
Did he eat?
Oh, yeah, we all ate. Because me and my dad, like, we'll fight. And then we're like, are you hungry? I'm like, yeah, I'm hungry.
Right.
Like, I get
moves
over
it. I mean, look, he probably knew.
Oh, he knew.
Yeah, he knew. This is just denial. He, you know.
Well, there's a stigma associated with that and with mental illness. So, like, when my mom wanted to take me to therapy, she told my mom, my dad told my mother, mm-hmm. do not use insurance and do not pay with check, only cash. So there's no paper trail.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when I went to see his accountant or if I needed, you know, any legal advice, he would always say, do not tell, because they're his friends, do not tell them that you are homosexual.
Yeah, because your dad is an attorney, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that stigma was like around gay and the mental illness.
Right.
So out of college I started my own, I got in the mortgage business, started that. It was very successful, drinking, drugging heavily. And then Blake eventually left me because I was horrible. I was cheating on her constantly. Then I lost the mortgage business because the market failed and because I was drinking and drugging really heavy.
Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you run a business?
Yeah. Eventually all things are going to fall apart.
Yeah. So this is where the problem started happening. Mm-hmm. And I got in the fitness world. Mm-hmm. Barry's Bootcamp. Barry from Barry's Bootcamp. I used to take his class every morning. He's like, can you just try not to drink like one day because you reek of alcohol every time you come in here.
Damn. Wow.
I told him to go get effed. And that he was my boot camp instructor and not my mother. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I wanted his advice, I'd ask for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he kept after me mm-hmm. still every day. He's like, he just tries staying sober one day. And I didn't realize he was big into AA. Mm-hmm. And anyways, long story short, he became my sponsor. I got sober and I really wanted his job because mm-hmm. I wanted to scream and yell at people and call them.
That's what she loves to do.
And literally like
Orders.
Degrade
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what we do? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that
what's that? Oh, so now I understand.
Right. Yeah.
Moss likes to take the
She likes that BDSM style workout.
Oh my God. Get on the floor, you stupid whore.
No, that's literally how I used to train. Oh my God.
No wonder why Darla doesn't want to train with you.
Oh, Darlin saw how I did it. Yeah.
Nobody does.
No. And I calmed down considerably.
I would have to say, yes, you have, because I actually have never seen this side.
Oh, yeah.
Like a drill sergeant.
Yeah. They wouldn't let me teach at Barry's in the Valley because I cussed too much and called people pussies and all this stuff. And I'm like, you're not running fast enough. I'm like, might as well walk. My grandma can walk faster than that. She's 6 feet under. What's wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
So they banned me from teaching there.
Wow, okay. Not surprised.
Yeah. So I ended up getting some – I got into a niche of, ironically, R&B artists and – choreographers, as far as my client base is concerned, mm-hmm. really very early on.
Okay.
It all started from one, and it was from Mia Michaels. She was a choreographer. Mm-hmm. And then she referred me so-and-so, and then just
that's
like, how
it happens.
Music world. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I ended up traveling with them and becoming, you know, doing their nutrition all the while acting out heavily. Nobody knew. Drinking, drugging, and in my eating disorder.
Oh, still?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, this is because I'd relapsed, like, multiple times.
Right.
Which
happens a lot,
yep,
right?
Yep.
What is the – do we know the stats on that? Like,
there's really no rhyme or reason for it.
But I mean, like, the percentage of people that relapse, it's pretty high, right?
Very.
Yeah.
Very high.
Right.
So, yeah. yeah, I relapsed. And then, you know, I would literally sit in the car and binge, and then go into the gym and scream at my client for not running fast enough on the treadmill.
Wow. As you ate like carne asada.
Yeah. And then I needed to do drugs because I freaking felt like a fraud.
No, you know what? I saw this picture of her when she had, when you had your eating disorder.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
What did you like? Look like?
Well, I was shredded at one point, and yes, I'm really not shredded at another point.
Like, it was the one you were in, like, a black, you had, like, a black bikini bottom.
Oh, yeah. I went for that photo shoot. Yes.
Oh, is that when you wore makeup?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
That photo. Yeah. That one time she wore makeup.
And she needs to do it
heels,
again.
Yeah, heels and everything.
Lingerie.
So were you trying to go for, like, to be a bodybuilder? Like, what was the...
Yes. Well, at that point, I started dating... We'll just call her sociopath.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. and she wanted me to be more feminine.
Right.
So I was
she
malleable.
Was she the more masculine?
And I've never dated anybody more masculine than
right.
me.
Right. I can't even picture this at all.
It was really awkward.
You like them feminine. Like the long hair. And
lipstick.
Like,
this is why I'm single, because I date like quasi-straight girls.
Yeah.
And they always go back to the peen. Well, I can't compete with it. You know what I mean?
No, it's a peen.
There's this worm and it's attached.
Well, we got to talk about how we got to fix that for you.
Yeah. Can we set you up?
With a peen?
No!
Like, been there, done that, not
and I have my own in my little like love chamber at my apartment.
Oh my God.
Lots of different colors.
Oh, yeah,
sizes.
Your toolbox.
My toolbox. Like, your toolbox.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, your toolbox. So, guys, I didn't know lesbians loved vacuums so much.
Yes, vacuums, tools.
Yeah. Tori informed us last night that, like, she... vacuums are all the rage. The Dyson, what was it like?
That's like the
Dyson
high end.
Vacuum V8 animal.
V8 animal, wow. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Wow. It sounds like a sex toy.
It's like a sex toy. That awesome. I was like, last time, I'm like, oh my God. Yes. Oh my God, give it to me. Yes.
Stop. This is what lesbians use to flex on each other. They're like, oh,
no.
Do you have a V8?
No.
I have a V10. 100%. No.
Yes. I call Blake. I'm like, I just got the Dyson. She's like, oh my God, I just got the V10.
You're like, bitch.
You're going to have to upgrade.
Yeah, I know, soon.
Yeah.
That is so...
So now I know what to get you for your birthday.
Oh.
The upgrade.
The super sucker.
Yeah.
Or some attachments.
Oh. Oh. Yeah.
You have enough.
I do. I picked your pictures.
The strap-on attachment.
How many attachments does a vacuum need?
Depends on the lady.
Oh, my God. I hate you. Oh, my God. Wow. Okay, so your journey is crazy. Yeah, your journey is crazy. And so flash forward to... So you are dealing with all these things, and then you... How do you... get clean.
Yeah, like what was the turning point for you?
So with a sociopath I was dating, and I don't tell this often, actually, but I'll go ahead and share it just in the hopes that it helps somebody else. But it was the first abusive relationship I'd ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, as far as to my recollection and my knowledge, it was the first time that I had been raped, and I was raped in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And not only that, the verbal abuse and the emotional abuse was just like... It just sent me spiraling into my bottom. After we broke up, soon thereafter, I was in a severe depressive state. I was traveling again with my artists.
Mm-hmm.
I was traveling all over the place. So no one ever really knew where I was.
Right.
So I was always, you know.
Out and about. Yeah.
Different city.
Sure. I didn't check in with people like, hey, I'm in Texas right now.
Right.
You know, like.
Right. So were you lonely?
I was lonely, and I was in a hotel room in New York, and I was in the throes of my eating disorder, my drug addiction and alcoholism and my depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, this is it. I'm done.
Mm.
So I attempted an overdose.
Damn.
In that hotel room. And
with drugs? Or?
Yeah, with pills.
Uh-huh.
Tons of pills. And I woke up to the tour manager pounding on the door saying, where have you been? We've been trying to reach you.
Mm-hmm.
And I look around the room. I'm soaked in urine. There's like food everywhere. Like pizza stuck to me, like donuts on the wall.
What?
Like the whole entire like mini bar was just like on the floor, like ripped apart. So I'm like through the door, I'm like, hey, there's an emergency back home. Can you just book me a flight back to LA?
Yeah.
You know? And so I had to pay for the damages of the room. To this day, they don't know. That client doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I checked myself into treatment. Mm-hmm. And that was almost 8 years ago.
You just knew, like, enough is enough. Like, what made you do that?
My friends had it. Mm-hmm. My therapist was like, she's been trying to tell me for months I need to go to treatment. And mm-hmm. I knew if I kept going the way I was going, I was going to die. I was on a death wish path. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. I'm going to give it everything I have, this mm-hmm. sobriety round this time. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, you know, fine. But I'm going to put it first.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how much strength that takes mm-hmm. and how much courage it is?
Yeah.
Like, to pick yourself up off the ground mm-hmm. when you're at rock bottom is incredible.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't do that.
No, they can't.
Not even to that extreme. Mm-hmm. Like, you were at your extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And it wasn't the last time that I hit, you know, a certain bottom, but I got into a relationship while I was in treatment, which I don't recommend if any of you guys out there are going to go to treatment.
Yeah. Okay? Double
don't
the problems.
Date anybody right. in there.
Right, right, right. So was she bi? Was she?
She was straight. Okay. And I walked up to her.
Here we go again.
And I said, how many times have you been in treatment? Uh-huh. And she said 27, not including 16 psychiatric stays. And I said, oh my God, this is my wife. She understands me.
You're like, this is my soulmate.
I'm going to marry this one. Sight. Yep. That's exactly what it was. We moved in together.
Tori, your picker is
I'm telling,
a little broken.
No. Horrible.
No, you're
horrible.
This explains a lot.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
So then she convinced me to check myself into UCLA Psychiatric, which I did. Mm-hmm. And all the while, these doctors were diagnosing me like, oh, you're bipolar. I'm like, I'm not, though. I don't mm-hmm. have, like, mania. I don't go into psychosis. Right. So it never made any sense. So I was always on the wrong medication.
What were they basing that off of? It's just crazy sometimes how they come up with these, and it's like...
Right. Did they test you for anything?
There is no testing. And that's the thing, is that I've literally been diagnosed with almost everything under the sun.
Right.
And so that's where I was like, you don't know what you're talking
about. Well, a lot of them intertwine.
Yes,
a lot of
they
them
do.
Intertwine.
They do, and they overlap.
Right.
But yeah, once I got sober, I ended up in the psych ward and then got out, got Rufus, and then she got really jealous about Rufus.
Really?
What?
She's like, hey, I think you should return the dog because you're not giving me much attention anymore.
Oh, Lord.
So I said.
She got to go.
Needy.
And that's what happened. I said, so you're making me choose over you or the dog?
A dog.
And she's like, basically, I'm like, okay, well, I choose Rufus.
Bye, girl.
Exactly.
Girl,
exactly.
Bye.
Exactly. Yep. And look who's still around.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
And then me and Rufus ended. All my money had been spent on treatment because mm-hmm. I didn't have a health insurance. So I'd amassed a large savings, and then all went to pay for treatment.
Yeah,
I had no money, no place to go, so I lived out of my car with Rufus for a number of months, homeless.
Damn.
I would
shower. You were still training and stuff?
No, I had just gotten a job at Equinox.
Oh, okay.
Like, starting all over again.
Right.
And I would park underneath and shower at the gym. No one knew. I didn't tell anybody. I was like, hey, I'm homeless, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'd see clients, and then I would go back to my car, and then sometimes I'd stay the night at, like, Blake's house or someone's house. But it wasn't horrible. You know, mm-hmm. it's not, like, mm-hmm. a horrible, like, experience. But and then I slowly built myself back up from there, and then Miguel came into my life.
Hmm.
Yep.
That's so crazy. Mm-hmm.
He came into my life right shortly thereafter me getting, like, back on my feet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it was, it was about a year after I was homeless. Or 6 months, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's still soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and I was really nervous. You know, I was like, okay, I got to make it. And I had my sobriety first. I asked my sponsor. I'm like, should I do this? Should I do these tours again? You know? Mm-hmm.
Were you ever, and I actually don't know the answer to this, were you ever tempted on tour to, like, because, you know, they're smoking, they're drinking backstage. Like, were you ever Mm-mm. tempted to try it again?
Nope.
That's amazing.
I really didn't, because I followed a really strict program. I had a really good support system.
Yeah.
I just was like, it was not even an option to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the partying and everything does not bother me at all. Smoking, whatever, like I could care less. It did not trigger me whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they were all had a bunch of pills and, like, oxy out, you know,
right.
Might have been a
different story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was not on that tour.
No. Yeah. No. That was not the pill tour.
No, it was the marijuana.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the rich kids tour. Drugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for the rich kids.
Yeah, no. Yep. No.
Wow.
So then I started going to see a couple other therapists and psychiatrists, and finally, I was introduced to one, and she's like, "You're bipolar." I'm like, ugh.
"You're like that again."
And she's like, "Type 2." And I was like, "What?"
Oh. Okay. And so she, what's the difference?
The difference is type 1 is characterized by mania, like where you go manic for a period of 7 days or more, and usually requires hospitalization. Mm-hmm. And you lose, and a lot of times, not necessarily, but a lot of times, you end up in psychosis. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, people think that they are Jesus Christ or like a mermaid or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I never experienced that. Mm-hmm. So what type 2 is severe depressive episodes with hypomanic like episodes, like mm-hmm. short, like, and it could be anger. So the psychiatrist that I had seen finally made it all very clear. She thoroughly educated me on all the different types of bipolar. Mm-hmm. And I finally accepted it was for me. I came to a period of acceptance at that point, mm-hmm. And started on a medication regimen. And, you know, medication's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has to go on medication. Mm-hmm. For me, it was definitely necessary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You noticed a difference.
Oh, major. I've mm-hmm. never been more stable in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on. I think I started seeing her in, like, 2016. Mm-hmm. Which hence the beginning of the nonprofit.
Mm. Question about the medication.
Yeah.
Did you have to go through a few to figure out what worked for you?
Yes.
I figured. Mm-hmm. Okay.
On average, it takes 10 years for people to be properly diagnosed.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Who suffer from depression or any kind of mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For me, it just took a lot longer because I was just not in acceptance at all. Right. That diagnosis didn't seem to fit. Mm-hmm. So I have been on literally throughout my life every antidepressant known to man. Mm-hmm. But the current cocktail that I'm on now is the one that works.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect. And you've been doing that for how long now?
Since 2016.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good amount of time.
And no thoughts, because I know a lot of, you know, antidepressants give you thoughts of suicide. Mm-mm. You know.
Which is so ironic to me. Mm-hmm. Like, how?
I had really, really bad suicidal ideation for a number of years.
Okay.
What
does that mean? Like thoughts?
Thoughts, uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Intrusive thoughts. Like I would just be driving my car. Oh, drive off the cliff. You're just.
I get that all the time.
No.
I swear to God.
Okay. That's a suicidal ideation.
Oh.
Yeah. Look at Naz's face.
No, but I don't take it serious because I'm just like,
you're ideation. Like, what if?
Yeah.
Is that like a what?
Kind of. I'm just like, what if I just like turned my car right now. Like, I think about that stuff all the time when
you
I do.
You would die?
Yeah, no, I know. But, like, it's just, like, sick and twisted thoughts that pop in my head, and I'm like,
do you think it's all the sick and twisted things you watch on YouTube?
Oh,
possibly.
Maybe.
Possibly. No, but, I mean, who knows, though, because I've definitely experienced and gone through depression without knowing I was depressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I didn't know either.
Yeah.
I was like, mm-hmm. what is this? And how do I not feel this way?
Right.
I feel like majority of people are like that.
They are. Yeah. And that's why the movement, I started a tangible movement because I knew at that point, once I finally got relief and acceptance of my diagnosis and finally mm-hmm. got the proper medication mm-hmm. and just felt like a functioning
normal person,
human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is... I need to start something to help other people because I know other people are going through this.
Absolutely.
And I'd hit a point in my life where when you hit a certain age, mm-hmm. You start usually in like mid-30s or so, you start thinking about giving back. And mm-hmm. the work, just like taking money and making money for stupid things doesn't really satisfy anymore.
Completely. Right?
So you got to start doing things that help other people. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that's where I was in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I started Tangible Movement. And basically what that means is I go around to schools, high schools, colleges, and universities, corporations, and medical conferences and talk about my experience mm-hmm. And talk about, you know, mental health conditions in general mm-hmm. And about healthy mm-hmm. coping tools, coping mm-hmm. mechanisms, usually wellness, like working out, eating mm-hmm. healthy, having a support system, going to a therapist, mm-hmm. reading, and talking about it. Definitely openly
right.
talking about it.
That's the first step.
Major.
Yeah.
Major first step.
Recognizing that there's something there, first of all.
Yeah.
And then having the courage to say it out loud to somebody, you mm-hmm. know, whether it be a friend or a therapist or whatever.
Right.
To just, I mean, because you can think this all you want, but if you don't say it out loud, you know what I mean? It's not the full recognition. Mm-hmm. So you got to do that. And then
take action.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the thing.
The hard
you have
part.
To take action.
Yeah.
You have to.
A lot of people don't.
Part. Yeah.
And they don't because either they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. They don't have access.
They just don't know how.
Or they just cannot get off the bed.
Mm-hmm. Or they think they can do it on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they're self-medicating.
Right. Ugh. Right.
So, yeah. Oh, and I should say also, because we didn't cover this part, I was a racist. I am no longer a racist.
Let's make that very clear.
Former racist.
Yeah.
Tori Shad. We applaud you for that, Tori. Yes.
That's huge, even acknowledging that's who you were before. A lot of people are afraid to even say that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and and people have said to me, like, wow, thank you for saying that, because I didn't think there was a way for me to get out of that lifestyle. And my dad started changing too, because all my clients were black, all of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when I started training Miguel, he was really like over the hump, more or less. And he's like, he saw a t-shirt I was wearing. He's like, can I get a Miguel shirt?
Oh, yeah. So cute. I love that story.
So he has the one with the one where it was like, he was like a cartoon drawing kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. he wore that until it like disappeared.
Tori's dad, we can send you whatever Miguel t-shirt you would like, okay?
As long as you're not racist anymore.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And my mom loves you.
Oh, I want to meet her.
Man, every time she's like, you know, I just love that Nazanin, when she was on the red carpet and it was for Miguel's event or whatnot, but they came up to talk to him and the girl, Julianne Rancic, I think it was.
Yeah, brought me
like,
up.
Like, just kind of pushed Miguel aside and brought her up and was talking to her. I'm like,
You're like, awkward.
Yeah.
They're both stars.
Yeah.
There's no competition, please.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need that.
Oh, man. Wow.
So I have a question for you, though. Yep. So when you're doing all of these, you know, the conferences and seminars for Tangible Movement, do you find it difficult sometimes to go back into those dark places of your past? Because, you know, every time you kind of have to bring it up.
Yeah,
you do. Know, you got to go back into that headspace. Like, is that draining sometimes for you?
No. I've said my story so many times that it's just like almost like a story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like I don't relive it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's in your past.
It's in my past. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, yeah, it's just like I have no emotion. I'm not emotionally tied to it at this point, just because I've said it over and over so many times. In the beginning, yes. Mm-hmm. Very difficult.
You know, it's like reopening those wounds. 100%. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's a lot.
And
I know.
If you're not ready to do it, if you want to get into the mental health, you know, what do you call it, space, and want to be an advocate, just make sure that you're ready to do that and that mm-hmm. the wounds have healed, or, you know, it's not going to cause you any further trauma mm-hmm. to do such things, mm-hmm. to talk about your story.
Absolutely. Yeah, I always wondered that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But not for me anymore. I'm just,
that
like,
makes me really happy.
Yeah, yeah. It actually gives me energy to see that people are like, really, like, what, like, see it in their eyes, like, oh my God, I feel that way too. And they come mm-hmm. up to me afterwards, they're crying, like, thank you so much. Like, this has been a tremendous life changing experience. So that's why I do it.
I mean, one of the best parts is, you know, they can get to your point in life. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the goal.
Yeah. Inspiration.
To be in your headspace mm-hmm. and to thrive and to help other people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so possible.
But what's more important would be as people like yourself mm-hmm. and Miguel, the kids. The youth, they listen to their YouTube influencer. Mm-hmm. Right. They listen to their Instagram influencer mm-hmm. and musicians, right? Mm-hmm. And actors. So if, you know, yourself or, you know, Miguel gets up and says something along the lines of, you know, I've struggled with so-and-so and such, mm-hmm. it's like mind-blowing for them.
No, I know. Like, I want to thank you, honestly, for encouraging him to do those two seminars. Mm-hmm. That was the first time he ever spoke out about mm-hmm. his conditions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, we know because mm-hmm. we've known him for mm-hmm. a very long time. Mm-hmm. But he's never publicly talked about it. Mm-hmm. And that was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was huge. And he's now at a place in life. I mean, he's going to be 34 where he's like, no, this is my truth.
Yeah.
And I need to speak my truth. Mm-hmm. so I can move forward.
Absolutely.
No, it's true.
You know,
it's
and cleansing. I'm really proud mm-hmm. of him for that.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I mean, I've known him for, what, 7 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like mm-hmm. I've seen him go through a lot of changes.
Yeah, his whole evolution.
Major.
Yeah.
So that was really, really impressive for him to, you know, do that and just come right out and go for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that's another chapter in a person's healing is that, you know, they're able to, even though they've already overcome it, but now they take it to this next level where they're publicly or, you know, obviously he's a person of fame, so he can talk publicly. But mm-hmm. if you're able to talk publicly about it and acknowledge it to a bigger mass and say, you know, this is where I'm at now. Like, does that take you up a notch in your healing?
It 100,000 mm-hmm. percent.
Right.
Because talking about it openly, you know, mm-hmm. it keeps it. It just keeps. Okay. Yeah. That's where I was. That's what I was doing.
Right.
Like it's.
It's
I
courageous.
Overcame it. And I benefit a lot from it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably as much as the next person sitting there listening to my story.
Mm-hmm.
So once you start doing it on a regular basis, it's mm-hmm. like, wow, like these people are really listening and they're really mm-hmm. affected by it. And they're really wanting now to go to therapy or mm-hmm. they're going to listen to their mom and go to the therapist mm-hmm. or yeah. you know what I'm saying? So
it keeps you motivated to continue doing what you're doing uh-huh. and stay on track
because right.
you know all these people know what you've been through and where you're at now.
Yep.
And you want to like not disappoint them and keep them, you know, it's a part of it, right? Don't you
I'm
think?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It keeps you accountable.
Yeah, exactly.
It's holding me extremely accountable.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like being a trainer. Like you're keeping your clients accountable.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big reason why. You know I hire you. You keep me accountable.
Yeah, I know.
like,
I'm the most expensive babysitter there
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
That's
true
why
that.
I don't use you.
True that.
One day, Tori.
Yeah. yeah.
We'll wait till this podcast takes off.
No, that's, you know, it's a part of the job.
Yeah, it's accountability.
And yeah, accountability. Yeah. 1,000%.
Some people pay for it. Yep.
Yeah, 1,000%. It's so important. We all kind of need it.
Yep.
You know, we need to be accountable. And
so how does one – my other thing about it is you have a family member or a person you're dating or somebody who's really close to you that's struggling, you know, with these mental health issues, whether they recognize them or not. What can friends and family do to help support that person?
That's a great question. First of all, if somebody is talking about like giving their possessions away or like leaving the planet or talking along the lines of their life ending soon.
Right.
It is okay to ask somebody, and this is what people don't understand. It's okay to ask somebody, hey, are you feeling suicidal? Are
right.
you feeling like you're going to harm yourself?
Right.
People are afraid to ask that because they think it's going to cause them to think it.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
It's not true.
They're already thinking
They're already
it.
Thinking yeah. it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to cause somebody who's not thinking it to start thinking it.
Right. right.
So talk to them, ask questions, like ask them what, hey, what can I do for you?
Right.
Regardless if they're feeling suicidal or not.
Mm-hmm.
How can I help you? What can I do to help you?
Right.
Sometimes it's just sitting, watching TV with them,
right.
you know.
Just being there.
Yeah. No one likes to be told what to do.
Right.
But just giving an ear and understanding and some, my friends would come check on me because
mm-hmm.
I would completely go ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So they would just come show up on my front door, which mm-hmm. I hate. Mm-hmm. I don't like people in my apartment at all unless we're doing adult activities and then they have to leave right afterwards.
Oh my God, what a square.
She's like, goodbye, I have to wash my sheet yes. now.
Oh my God, you have no idea.
I know,
yes,
I know
yes.
you.
Rufus and I need to unwind.
Yes.
Rufus needs a space.
Yes, he needs a space. Yes. We'll bite you in the face.
Yeah.
And I do need to wash these sheets. Okay.
Exactly.
So, okay, but what if it's not to that point of suicide? What if it's just, what if they're dealing with narcissism? And what if they've pinned you out to be the bad guy and they've created these, you know, pushed you away and you just, I don't know how I'm trying to explain this.
How do you connect
no, I get it.
With someone who's pushing you away?
Yeah, they're pushing you away.
But you're talking about a narcissist in general, right?
Right.
Okay, so.
That's a whole nother
mm-hmm.
thing.
If you are able to, if you're not married to one or you're not in a relation, if you're not in a family situation with a narcissist, the best advice I have for you is to run.
Okay.
I got my shoes, my running shoes.
Yep.
On.
But what if you can't run?
That's what I'm saying. So there are certain situations where you can't.
Right.
Yeah. And you want to live through it. Like, they might want to stay married because they have kids together or whatnot, or mm-hmm. it's a sister mm-hmm. or a mother or a father. And you right. can't get away from that. Mm-hmm. So they are highly, extremely manipulative. Mm-hmm. They'll suck you right in, and then all of a sudden everything's your fault. Mm-hmm. And they play the victim. Major victim. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everything's your fault. And then also they make you feel really stupid. Mm-hmm.
And that's all projection, I feel
100,000%. Because right. most 99.9% of narcissists are extremely insecure.
Insecure. Mm-hmm.
It screams insecurity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The number one yeah. way to disengage a narcissist mm-hmm. is to ignore them.
Right.
Or be what they call a gray rock.
Right.
So when they
explain that,
when they be the gray rock. Uh huh. So when they're trying to get a rise out of you, because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. That they feed off of literally trying to get a rise out of you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You take that away.
You take it away mm-hmm. by not reacting mm-hmm. at all. It mm-hmm. will destroy them.
Mm-hmm. That's how you keep your power in those
Absolutely.
Situations.
Yeah. yeah. As soon as you give in and you start engaging with them, mm-hmm. they have you.
Right. right. They won.
Yep. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So no reaction is the best way. And right. unfortunately, if it is a family member, if you can limit your time spent around them, that would be ideal. But mm-hmm. if you can't, I would suggest if you're a parent and you're living in their house, you know, talking to some friends about it, and just number one thing, don't engage mm-hmm. when they are trying to get you hook you in.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Mm-hmm. I know it is.
It's so hard.
They push the buttons, the right buttons.
The mm-hmm. right button. They know the buttons. Yep. And usually it's somebody who's close to you.
100%.
So they know you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just.
I unfortunately attract a lot of narcissists in my dating life.
Well, you also like to fix people.
They used to call me Captain Sabaho.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I actually had a question with that. And that is, do you believe that someone can not be a narcissist
nope.
after they are one?
No. There's no medication for it.
Right.
And there's no – and the therapy doesn't work because they don't believe that they're a narcissist.
Right.
Unless they're a self-aware narcissist, which is very rare.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they will never go seek help because, number one, you're the problem and
right.
you're the problem. They're not the problem. Mm-hmm. So there's no, like, cure for it per
okay.
se. Yeah.
Damn. That's rough.
Yeah.
It's a rough life for those narcissists.
Yeah. Well, that was heavy.
All right. Well, that was very interesting. And when we get back, we are going to do Ladies Like You, and we are going to take your questions and answer them.
Guys, I'm so excited to finally be able to say this. My debut single, Forever Mood, is officially out now.
Woo!
The song is available on every streaming platform. You can go on my Instagram, click my bio. It'll take you straight there. You will not be disappointed.
No, nope. It's so good, guys. Get it now. Only thing I want right now.
So it's time for Ladies Like You, and we have three actually really, really interesting questions. They're all very different. Our first one is from at Jackie.
She has three E's,
and
two Y's.
Okay. All right. Jackie asked, to be honest, I'm curious as to how one deals with anxiety, mental health, as someone who is in the public eye. I know it's no different than us regular people. It's like cancer. Anyone can have it, rich or poor. But what I'm trying to ask is if it's harder to cope with it. If so, how?
Okay. In the public eye, I don't see myself in the public eye. That's a question for you.
Okay.
This is a general.
Yeah. I'll definitely answer it. Yes, it is very difficult. It's difficult in general. I think if I was doing an office job, it would be difficult because you have to show up, and any kind of profession you're doing, you have to be professional and you have to show up with a smile on your face no matter what you're doing. Mm-hmm. The difference is that in the public eye, you are judged more harshly and you need to be on your, you know, your P's and Q's at, pretty much at all times. And I know that there are times where I have so much anxiety, like when I'm right about to walk a carpet, where I just sometimes want to say, I know we did all this glam. I know we put in all this time. I want to stay in the car.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that?
No. I have pushed myself every time.
That is really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's actually how I just deal with it. I have to tell myself it's all in my head. Mm-hmm. Get your mind together. Mm-hmm. This is what you chose to do. Nobody's forcing you to be in this industry, Nas. Mm-hmm. This is what you want to do.
Right.
So, and this is your reality. So you have to be bigger than what's going on in your mind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like in any profession, it's difficult. But in the public eye,
it's more pressure.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's an added pressure.
It's an added pressure because you really do have to be like tip top shape all the freaking time. And like it's just a lot to take on. So, yeah, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people that are in the public eye probably deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people because it's just it. Like you said, it's added pressure. I mean, there's just no way that you can just get up and go and have it be that easy. There's got to be anxieties that come with that.
Yeah. And then some mornings, like, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine. Yeah. And then other mornings, I'm like, oh my God, like, well, I don't even know what's going on right now. I really just want to like lay here, but I don't. Mm-hmm. Like, I get up and I work out or I, you know, I read or like I figure it out, you know. It's just about, it's mind over matter at this point for me in my life.
Well, I think I told you, I know I told you, Nas, I'm developing an app. It's a mental health app.
Yes. I'm excited about this.
Excited to tell you all about it later. But yes, pushing through is definitely one coping mechanism. Another one would be some, you know, a breathing exercise you could possibly do. It's while you're sitting in the car, just close your eyes and do some series of like a minute or 2 minute deep breathing. Mm-hmm. Another really good technique is to look at your feet on the floor. And say, my feet are on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Like, say it out loud.
Out loud. My feet are on the floor. And if you have your hands on a steering wheel, my hands are on the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it makes you super present. Mm-hmm. And you're not in your head freaking out about future stuff that's not going to happen because that's what anxiety is.
I need this app.
Yeah.
I need those reminders because right now my technique is literally, this is going to sound crazy, talking to myself saying, no. You're fine. Get out there.
No, I mean, that's not
just
crazy.
As good. Whatever works, you know,
like
whatever works.
Yeah,
yeah. You have to. You have to pep talk yourself.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. At her name's Jocelyn said, when things aren't going the way you'd like in life, it says howdy.
Sorry, I wrote this late.
How do you pull yourself out of the funk and out of your head? Mm. So basically, what are the coping, you know, mechanisms that you can use to get yourself out of the funk when this happens to me a lot.
Mm-hmm. This cloud.
Yeah. The cloud. I always call it the cloud. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I get this cloud every once in a while and it just hangs over my head. And
it's called depression.
I know. I have all these things now.
One in five Americans suffer from a mental health condition.
Right. So it's not abnormal.
Nope,
so don't feel bad about it. And it you just got to know that it's there and recognize it. And once you recognize it, then you can figure out the ways to get through it. Mm-hmm. I know, obviously, that you're a trainer. Nas works all the time. Mm-hmm. Fitness is a huge way. Mm-hmm. I know that for me, when I stop working out is usually when the cloud comes.
Yep.
And when I get back to working out, then I'm feeling good again and the cloud starts to kind of go away.
Working out, being healthy and fit can actually be more effective than actual antidepressants.
Right.
Yeah.
I believe
so
that.
So in the depth of my depression, no matter what, like I would put my feet on the floor and sometimes it'd take me hours to get out of bed and to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'd force myself to go on a run.
That was what I was going to ask you. What do you, like, just making that first move is, like, one of the hardest moves ever.
Getting my feet up from my bed to the floor is the hardest part. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I don't cry, so I'm really angry, so I just start cussing at myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you just, my self-motivation is a lot different than yours. Yeah.
Nas is like, you got this, girl. Tori's like, you fucking piece of shit.
Exactly,
get out of bed.
Exactly what it is. Exactly. 100.
You're going to be a fat ass if you don't get to the gym.
You're a failure.
I will be running and I will say, I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I don't even realize I'm saying it until I run by somebody and they're looking at me like, what?
Wait, you say it out loud?
I don't realize I'm saying it out loud.
Is this why you go running at 4 a.m. so no one will hear you?
Exactly. There you go. That makes sense.
I just don't like dealing with people.
I know you
like,
don't.
So when they're in my way, like I just, you know.
You have low patience.
Yeah. So yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning, I had the whole city to myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. No, but I think that's, I've had people ask like, but how do you get motivated? How do you take that first step? Like, how do you do that?
It's not about motivation. That's the whole thing. Right. People are looking for a sign and they're looking for a symbol. Like, I got to get motivated first. It's mm-hmm. not about that.
Right.
It's like you have to take proper actions in order to overcome your illness, just mm-hmm. like an alcoholic has to realize they got to do certain things in order to get sober. Like exactly. maybe go to meetings or go to treatment. Mm-hmm. Or stop drinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with depression. It's like, right. okay, I gotta get into solution now.
Yeah, yeah.
As These hard are the as steps. It is. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Regardless. So yep. if you're looking for that motivation.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you got to just do it. That's yep. what we always talk about is like, just do and don't think.
Yeah.
Because the minute you start thinking about it, especially like for me, if
you're
I think
not
about
do it.
I'm like, but this couch and my pajamas yep. and like, yeah. you know, and it's just yeah. like, I'll talk myself out of it.
Exactly.
And then I feel bad about it and... And then also know what works for you, because I know if I work out in the morning, my success is like way better. Like
same. I'm a yeah. morning workout person.
Same.
I cannot mm-hmm. work out in the afternoon, nor can I work out in the evening. I
right,
can't.
Right. I mean, I will do it if I have to, but like it's not the same.
Right.
It just my day is better.
Yep.
It sets the tone.
It sets
for
the
day.
Tone. Yeah. yeah. And I'm not a morning yeah. person. I hate the mornings.
Right.
But I just know that if I at least work out in the morning, then I'm done with it. It's off my list. I don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
I didn't do it today. And I
feel great the rest of the day. Yeah. The food
yeah.
tastes better.
Yeah.
yeah.
No.
That
and
true.
You eat better.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I eat healthier whenever I'm working out.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just like, no, I put the work in. I want to eat right.
Yep.
And but it's bad when I don't, because then I'm like, whatever.
Oh,
like,
I know. I've seen what you girls do when you're traveling.
Hey. Well, traveling's different. You've got to indulge.
Right. Uh-huh. Like, you haven't been to London 100 times.
I've
Give
never
me a
been.
Break.
What? First of all, we didn't go to London.
We went okay. to Manchester.
Oh, Manchester. Excuse me.
And I've never been. And we worked out.
Okay. Yeah, we right, did. Okay, no, okay. We did work out.
But you got to get off the couch and do it.
Just
End
do
of story.
It. Don't just think about it. Just do it.
Don't think. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we have glow_Ryda92 ask, what advice would you have for someone who thrives on anxiety and fears that without it, they would never get anything done?
That's interesting.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. That happens a lot with people who are bipolar.
Mm.
Because like the hypomanic episodes that I have, they're very creative. And when people are in their manic episodes, highly creative.
Mm.
And so people are afraid to take the medication because it will dull their creativity or just mm-hmm. dull their personality in general.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really take into consideration, like, okay, was hers about creativity?
No.
No,
but
I think it was
just about
in
getting
general.
Things done.
Yeah.
Well,
they thrive on anxiety and fear that without it, they would never get anything done. So apparently they're using that anxiety.
It's a coping mechanism.
Right,
weird.
Right.
So, not weird, but I'm saying, like, you have to – is it damaging to your life?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Is it causing you, you know, things harm in some certain type of way? And unfortunately, it's going to get worse and worse. The anxiety and stuff, if you don't treat it, it's going to get worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion would be to see a therapist and at least try some alternative, whether it be holistic or maybe a type of medication, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
or some other coping mechanism to try to not use that one
mm-hmm.
as the mechanism of choice. And if it doesn't work, whatever you're doing doesn't work, you can have your anxiety back.
Right. It'll be waiting for you.
Yeah,
it'll
be waiting
back.
For you.
Exactly.
You'll be doing push-ups in the corner.
Oh, my
right.
God.
But yeah. I also look at it like that's just a form of comfortability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you normalcy. Know,
exactly.
It's normal for her.
Exactly. That's all. You know, it's like when someone's abused.
Yep.
It's like that's all you know. So mm-hmm. you're just like, this is my life. And like without this, how am I going to be? Mm-hmm. You know?
It's
so
true.
It you definitely have the power to do things without that anxiety.
Right.
You know?
With more ease, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like yeah. it's just
and
all
enjoying
in the
life.
Mind.
You can right. enjoy life if you, you know, don't use anxiety or you have coping mechanisms that deals with the anxiety so you can go on and enjoy your life without having to use that as a life tool.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Tori, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure and an honor.
You were so open and we found out new things about you, which were amazing. And thank you for being inspiring and having so much courage.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate your bravery.
Yeah, because, for real. Welcome.
Yeah, this is essentially what we want our show to be about, is people talking about their experiences so that people don't feel like they're alone and know that we are all going through some shit, one way or another. Mm-hmm. One way or another.
When something's high, something else is low. Yeah. So just remember that.
Yeah, like, you're not alone. We are all dealing with this stuff, and there's tons of places to find help and ways to cope with it, and you know, just talk about it, first of all.
And on Instagram, people are not posting their worst days. They're only posting the best.
The highlight reel.
A lot of times they are photoshopping their best.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's not with the shit.
I saw a quote that said something
about... If you could fit a ring around their waist, guys, just FYI, it's not real.
Oh, it is not.
No. Yeah.
No. Tori is not with the Photoshop.
At all.
No, she is not.
But yeah, Instagram is people's highlight reel.
Yeah, for sure.
Basically.
So you can't compare your life to other people's.
Not highlight reel, it's a pretend real. This is be real. For a lot of people.
Mine's pretty real.
No, okay. Some are real, but you know the ones I'm talking about.
Of course. I think they're pretty obvious.
Yes. Well, to me, there's.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. To us.
Yeah.
There's people that, you know, buy it all. So.
Yeah. So just don't compare and despair. Just live your life to the fullest.
Right.
If you do need help, get help. Ask for help. Or tell your friends, at least, so you have a support system.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself. Self-care is number one. Put yourself first. Put your mental health first. And, you know, there's tons of resources out there that are welcome to visit my website or shoot me an email as well.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tori.
You're welcome, guys.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to Ladies Like Us from the Lady Gang and Podcast One. Be sure to download new episodes every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts or on the Podcast One app. And remember, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
The Hit Reels Channel podcast, Murder Made Me Famous, is back with all new episodes on Podcast One.
Ridgeway did not seem to have the kind of family that would produce a man with so much anger. It just didn't seem to fit.
Join crime reporter Steve Helling as he investigates the most infamous crimes imaginable.
This murder illustrates just how brazen Jack the Ripper was.
Download new episodes of Murder Made Me Famous every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.